This morning's word is called Problem People. Let's first talk about faith. Faith doesn't rely on observation or observable results. You know, the farmer goes and plants a seed, he buries it, and at that point it's out of his control. You can't see it. You can water it. And water could be word, because we know that water and word are synonymous, or prayer. So there's people in all of our lives, I'm pretty sure, that, you know, we've prayed for, we've interacted with them, they're getting splashed by the living water on a daily basis, yet they're just as stubborn and closed-minded as ever. Does anybody have anyone like that? Okay. You know, that can trouble us. We just want them to change. God blesses them anyhow, doesn't he?
Yes.
Isn't that weird? How many people are aware of how the will of God's going to play out in their own lives? Anybody aware of how the will of God is going to play out in their life? I'm not aware of it either, but we're pretty certain how we want the will of God to play out in other people's lives. Isn't that right? The persistent problems in our lives, we can tolerate. But the persistent problems in other people's lives are very irritating. Remember Jesus' words, remove plank, then remove splinter? Okay, that plank in our eye, that blocks us from having clear vision. It blocks us from having accurate perception. Focusing on a need or an apparent lack, we set aside the realm of God, and we enter the religious realm, one of striving. So we're not really seeing God clearly if a lack is getting us all worked up, an apparent lack. It's easy to see the apparent lack out there. It's just very difficult to see it in ourselves. Well, we have faith for ourselves. Galatians 6:9 says, don't be weary in well-doing. Don't get weary in well-doing. Well, what's well-doing? Well-doing is not fixing everything and everyone around us. It's walking by faith and being a blessing to what God is doing in others. That's well-doing. Take some awareness. And it's not being a doormat either. I see a lot of things in the Christian community, not in this church so much, but, you know, if somebody has a want or a need, everybody just drops what they're doing and they go to fix that. And I don't think that's what God's asking us to do. We have to have awareness of what God is asking us personally to do. There's a lot of good causes. There's a lot of needs. We can't fix all of them. The greatest need we have is to walk according to what God is telling us. You know, one sows and another reaps. These people in our lives that irritate us, we may never see them change. I mean, they're probably changing and we just can't see it. But then somebody else down the line will walk up and that person will just see the Lord instantly. But I did all the work. So what? We've got a blueprint for pretty much everyone around us, don't we? You know, they need to stop doing this and start doing that. Do this less, do that more. And I don't know. God's, you know, he pinned me on this. That's why I'm bringing it to you. You see? That works good, huh? If you go over to Genesis 30, we could turn there. There's a couple of pretty cool things there. You remember Jacob and Laban? Okay, Jacob worked for 7 years to get this one gal, Laban's daughter, and then he got fooled, and Laban gave him his other daughter, the one that wasn't so pretty. So then he said, well, you can have the pretty one if you'll work for another 7 years. So Laban was working him a little bit. And we know Jacob was kind of a trickster. I mean, he manipulated things big time. So if we go to Genesis 30 and we look at verse 29, that's kind of where, I guess I lost Genesis. Okay. I was in the wrong Bible. 29, they work out a deal, okay? You know how I've worked for you and how your livestock has fared under my care. The little you had before I came has increased greatly, and the Lord has blessed you wherever I have been. But now when may I do something for my own household? So he makes a deal with him. I'm going to tend your flocks, and I'm going to cull out the speckled ones or the spotted ones. And I like verse 33, my honesty will testify for me in the future. So, to make it short, Jacob manipulated the mating of the lambs and the sheep and all that, and the goats. He was the first geneticist on the scene. But I don't really think that what he did is going to control the colors of the things, because, you know, it's in the genes. It's not in the environment. So it's just God was blessing him. He manipulated it, but God was blessing him anyhow. He was striving. Well, after working 20 years for that guy, I probably would be striving too. And then you have to deal with two wives. I don't even want to talk about that. But, okay, now go over to chapter 31, verse 1. Jacob heard that Laban's sons were saying, Jacob has taken everything our father owned and has gained all this wealth from what belonged to our father. See, God really blessed Jacob. And Jacob, this is classic, Jacob noticed that Laban's attitude toward him was not what it had been. Go figure. Because all of the goats and all that became spotted or speckled, and he had the entire herd. He had all the strongest ones. So he really did good. You notice how, and this is what I wanted to talk about with respect to that. All of us have needs. And have you noticed how God will bless somebody right next to you just abundantly in the same area that you still have a need? That can trouble us. We're not, we just need to delight in the Lord. But more than that, I think a lot of it is how we deal with people. And I just want to share a little bit about my situation. I have symptoms of nerve damage in my right arm. I'm going to say symptoms because I don't own it. And I've had a little bit of struggle, this year in business financially. Yet I saw this dude who works for me. God was just a blessing him abundantly financially. And grants and everything. And that gets a little tough. So finally, I just started thanking God for what was happening in this man's life. And this man is stubborn to no end. Stubborn and closed-minded, I'll add that. But God can use those qualities. And by thanking God for him, I released him. See, God doesn't want us to, what's the word I have here? He doesn't want us to oppress and control. Of course, we would never do that. We would call it molding. Yeah. But he wants us to bless and release. Not oppress and control. Bless and release everyone around us. Even if it seems like they're contrary to God, he's God. He can handle it. So I started doing this, and during the course of this is when I started having trouble with my arm and my hand. So then this week, two of my goldsmiths, I have a full-time and a part-time, they announced that they're opening a store in Hillcrest. And I'm overjoyed for them. And I realized that, just like Living Springs is an open door for people to come in and be blessed and to go out, so is Golden Artistry. And I had to go before the Lord with this because I didn't know, what he was thinking. Like, what are you thinking, God? No, wasn't like that. It was, I went before him and I said, what's happening? And he said, the best is yet to come. Amen. He said, your best work is yet to come. I mean, isn't that beautiful? It met my heart. So I'm not worried about anything. I've got 4 interns coming in that are all high school. And I'm thinking, God's going to be blessing those kids huge. Because at some point, they're going to have to pick up the slack. And the two goldsmiths that started the store, they said they were worried about me, concerned that I was okay. And they said, they're going to come in and help me still. And it's awesome. It's awesome. Let's turn over to Psalm 37, please. This is a pretty familiar passage, I think. Start at verse 4. Psalm 37. Verse 4. Delight yourself in the Lord. That's all we need to do. You know? That's loving Him with all of our heart, all of our mind, all of our strength. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He'll give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in Him, and He will do this. He'll make your righteousness shine like the dawn, the justice of your cause like the noonday sun. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Look over at verse 30. Excuse me. Verse 30, what does that say? Yeah, the mouth of the righteous man utters wisdom. His tongue speaks what is just. The law of the Lord is in his heart. His feet do not slip. It's beautiful. Ecclesiastes 2:10 says, "My heart took delight in all my work." Invest your heart in every single thing you do. Invest your heart in the people around you. Don't do anything without your heart. And to close, remember the words of the musical artist Bobby McFerrin. Don't worry, be happy. Amen.